We're holding up the top of Tess Summer Aleph.
What's the page?
Nun Tess Summer Aleph, the top.
Okay.
We talked about yesterday a machloikus between Reb Yossi Aglili and Reb Akiva about the order in which the Kohen Gadol, so the Kohen Gadol is sprinkling the, not sprinkling, daubing the blood of the mixed blood of the parent sir on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav. So what order does he do it in? So we said Rabbi Akiva has him going clockwise, starting from the southeast, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili has him going counterclockwise, starting from the northeast. And we said now there is an idea that in the Bais Mikdash you should be turning to the right. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we said, is being consistent with that, because going counterclockwise means that he's walking around the Mizbeach constantly turning to his right. But according to Rabbi Akiva, why doesn't he do that? So we said that Rabbi Akiva may hold that just because you do that outside by the outer Mizbeach and by the Kiyur, not the Kiyur, the Yamshul Shloimer, doesn't necessarily show that you would have to do the same thing inside the Heichel. And on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva would say, even if we wanted to say we should apply that inside the Heichel as well, you have a countervailing thing of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvahs. You shouldn't bypass a mitzvah that you already bypassed before. You should now go back to. So given that there's the southwestern corner, which he passed by before on his way to start at the southeastern corner, then Rabbi Akiva takes the view that now we should have him go back to that corner as soon as possible. So now we're going to continue with a few other possible answers of what's the underlying machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So the Gemara says, "V'boyseima." Another possibility you could say, "Is viralan hakafa beregel." If we hold, now we said in the Mishnah there are two ways of understanding how the Kohen Gadol did these applications of blood. Did he walk around the Mizbeach HaZahav, or did he just stand in one place and reach around it? Walking around is called hakafa beregel. Reaching around is called a kaf of a yad. The difference being, given that the Mizbeach HaZahav is only one amma, by one amma, conceivably he could reach around. But does he in fact do that? The Tanakhama had said that he walks around it. Rabbi Eliezer had said that he just stands in one place and reaches around it. So the Gemara says, "Is viralan hakafa beregel." We could answer that if we hold not like Rabbi Eliezer, if we hold like the Tanakhama, that in fact the Kohen Gadol has to walk around the Mizbeach HaZahav, the kula amal pligidi afinim ponim mechutz, then both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili would have to agree that we're going to learn what happens inside the Heichel from what happens outside it, just like outside on the Mizbeach Chitzon. When the Kohen needs to walk around it to daub the blood of the Chatas, then he goes in a counterclockwise direction, which means that he's constantly going to his right. So it would be also inside. So rather, the machlokes could be as follows: Mar Sava Kof B'Yad or Mar Sava Kof B'Regel, where we could say that Reb Akiva holds that you don't actually walk around, you just reach around to the four corners. So in that case, that's different. That's different enough that not necessarily do we have to apply the rule of Dafka going to your right, because you're standing in one place anyway. Whereas Reb Yossi would hold that you do in fact walk around it, and therefore he would say that you need to walk around going in a counterclockwise direction. Or yet another possibility is they might all agree that the circling around is done by hand, that he doesn't walk around, that both of them would agree with Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah that he just stands in one place. The machlokes though would be as follows: Mar Sava Yalfin and Yad Meregel. Rabbi Yossi Aglili would say we learn what you do by hand from what you do on foot. So therefore he would say, just like when you're going on foot, you go to the right. Therefore, also when you're doing it by hand, also you should be going to the right counterclockwise. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would hold that you don't learn that. He would say that the whole concept of going to the right only applies if you're doing it on foot. Here you're doing it by hand. So therefore, he would say it's not necessarily relevant.
How is counterclockwise going always to the right? Clockwise is going to the right. Why counterclockwise?
No, because if you think of it in terms of that he's always facing towards the Mizbeach HaZahav, or the same thing on the Mizbeach HaChitzin, he's always facing towards the Mizbeach. When you're going counterclockwise, means you're moving towards your right. Think of how it is on the outer Mizbeach, for example. When he walks up the ramp and then turns to his right towards the east to start the circuit of the Mizbeach. So he starts at the southeast corner. Now, facing towards the Mizbeach, he's moving towards his right along the eastern wall of the Mizbeach. Eventually, he reaches the northeastern corner. Then he turns the corner, still moving to his right, and goes to the northwestern corner and so forth. So we're not talking about that his head is pointing, let's say, in the direction that he's walking. We're talking about that he's moving along, he's moving sideways. So in that case, then the same thing over here. He doesn't have his side turned towards the Mizbeach HaZahav. He has his front and his head turned towards the Mizbeach HaZahav. So then going counterclockwise is constantly moving to his right.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting point over here, by the way, where we're talking about Hakafa B'Yad versus Hakafa B'Regel, and talking about which ones does turning to the right apply and which one does not. There's an interesting discussion about that in connection with Neiras Chanukah. Now, what do we do when we light the menorah? Is we start at the left and work our way to the right. But the question is, based on what we're saying in the Gemara over here, is that really necessary? If we're saying that B'Yad, you don't necessarily need to do that, according to Rav Akiva, then maybe when it comes to the menorah also, when it comes to lighting the menorah on Hanukkah, you're not walking anywhere, you're standing in one place. In that case, maybe better you should be going from the right to the left. After all, I mean, it's no different than, when you're writing something in Lashon Kodesh, when you're writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzos, or anything else, you're writing right to left because that's the direction that Hebrew goes. So there we see when you're sitting in one place, then you do from right to left. So maybe with the menorah you should also. So the Maharil talks about that. He says it's true. On the other hand, we do have one, according to one explanation in the Gemara. So the fact is there were different menhagim. They're recorded in Sfarim of the Rishonim. There were different menhagim even among the Ashkenazim themselves, which way to do it, whether from right to left or from left to right. The Maharil says, based on our Gemara, okay, since we do see there is one of the possibilities the Gemara is bringing up, that even if you're doing biyad, even if you're just doing by hand, standing in one place, still you should be moving constantly towards the right. So even though that only involves moving your hand rather than the rest of your body, still there's a reason to say that you should do that, and therefore that you should light the menorah left to right. The Tzemach Tzedek has a long tshuva about it, analyzing all the sides of it. And in the Maisa, of course, he comes out with the same thing, but he goes through a whole rigorous analysis of that, of the whole issue, based on this Gemara, based on other sources. So far we have as follows. So far we have the first answer was that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that what happens inside the Heichel can be learned from what happens outside the Heichel. Just because outside the Heichel you have to go to the right doesn't mean that in the Heichel you do. The second answer we said was that there's a difference between doing it, that the machlokes between them is whether you do biyad or beregel. And the third answer is that everybody agrees you're doing it biyad, but the machlokes is whether biyad is also something that you have to do going to the right or not. So the Gemara asks for Savar Rabbi Yosef.
According to Rabbi Akiva, why would he think that it's different? Why? What's the reason he would think it's different?
Because you could argue, where do we learn the concept of going to the right? We said we learn it from the Shneim Osa Bokar, the twelve copper oxen that held up the Yamshel Shlomo. Well, those, if you want to see all of them and you're going in the directions that the Pasuk says, you're walking. You're not just standing in one place and looking at them, because if you look from one side, you're not going to see all 12 of them. So therefore, we have a precedent that when you're walking, you need to be going to the right. There's no precedent necessarily from that, but just because when you're doing something by hand, just the opposite, like I was just saying in connection with the menorah, you could argue when you're sitting and writing a Sefer Torah or something, you don't go left to right, you go right to left. So therefore, you could argue that's one thing when you're going on foot, you should be going to the right, but when you're doing something by hand, not necessarily.
But we write by hand from the right to the left. Isn't that
exactly
a proof?
Therefore, Rabbi Akiva might well say over here that the same thing, that you do the right, that in other words, that you're not necessarily saying you go to the right. So therefore, you can go. So therefore, you can be going clockwise. So the Gemara says, So you're telling me, according to that last answer, that conceivably both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili agree that you circle around by hand, meaning you don't walk on foot, but rather you just you move your hand around to the different corners of the Mizbeach. How could that be? In the Sefer of the Mishnah, we say Rabbi Eliezer says he stands in the same place and applies to all the four corners. Miklal, the Tanakama, le Svidale. That implies that the Tanakama doesn't agree with that. Now, we said yesterday the Tanakama of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, or at least agrees with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because he gives the same order of corners as Rabbi Yossi Aglili does. So obviously, Rabbi Yossi Aglili does not agree with Rabbi Eliezer, because then that otherwise it wouldn't have been necessary to present Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. So rather, it's clear that we have to answer, like we said originally, that is the difference. Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, Rabbi Akiva says you do it by hand, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you do it on foot. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva would, so in other words, both of them would agree that, according to that answer, both of them would agree that if you're doing it by hand, then there's no particular thing that you have to be going to the right. Both of them would agree that if you're doing it on foot, then you do have to go to the right. So now the question is, are you doing it by hand or are you doing it by foot? And the Gemara says, yet another possibility is the machlokas rather would be as follows. Actually, Hagoyis Hagrua takes out the words viboyisema and says uvaha, and he says this isn't really a new answer. According to him, this isn't really a new answer. This is an expansion of the previous answer. Why would we say, why would Rabbi Yossi Aglili be saying that you have to walk around, and Rabbi Akiva say it's good enough to just reach around? And how does that relate, for that matter, to the machlokas of the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, who have the same machlokas? The machlokas would be as follows. Mar Savar, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Tanakama, who we said is the Tanakama of our Mishnah, would take the view that given that the Torah tells us that you have to apply the blood saviv around the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and you also have that you have to go saviv around the Mizbeach HaChitzen when you're doing a chatas or other, when you're doing a chatas. So the two of them should be the same thing. So the saviv by both of them should be the same. Just like by the Mizbeach HaChitzen, you are definitely walking around, and everybody agrees to that. The same way, by the Mizbeach HaPnimi, you should also have to walk around. Umar Savar, where Rabbi Akiva holds, look, Kulam Mizbeach Pnimi, Bokum Chodok Keren Mizbeach Chitzen Koi. Listen, the size of the whole Mizbeach HaZahav is equal to the size of one of the Kronos of the Mizbeach HaChitzen. The Mizbeach HaChitzen has four Kronos and its four corners. And each one of them is an Amma by an Amma. Well, the whole Mizbeach HaZahav is only an Amma by an Amma. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva would take the view, fine, you want to compare the two Savivs, okay. Let's consider, when you're doing the blood of a chatas on the outer Mizbeach, you don't walk around each keren. By each keren, you stand in one place and apply the blood. So the comparison would be that over here, you stand in one place and apply it to all the four sides. So that would be the reason for their machlokes. Do we compare it throughout and say that that just like over there, you have to walk around, so here you have to walk around? Or would we say that over there you walk around the four corners as a whole, but by each corner individually you stand in one place, and the whole Mizbeach HaPnimi equals one corner of the Mizbeach HaChitzen? Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Amar Rav Shmuel, Shnei Kohenim Gdolim Nishtayru B'Mikdash Rishon. There were two Kohenim Gdolim who survived after the Churban Bayis Rishon. Now, how is it possible? Usually you have a Kohen Gadol passes away and the next one takes over. You could have, for example, that one of them was a temporary Kohen Gadol if the other one was disqualified because of a mum or tumor or something. Anyway, after the Churban, there were two of them left. And one says, I circled around the Mizbeach HaZahav when I was doing the applications of blood on Yom Kippur with my hand. In other words, I stood in one place and applied it all around, like Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah. The other one says, I circled around with my feet. In other words, I did like the Tanakama is saying, and walked around and walked around the Mizbeach. Zen nois and tam ledvarav, zen nois and tam ledvarav. Each one is able to give a reason for what he says. Zen nois and tam ledvarav, because as we just said, saviv nizbeach apnimi, kesaviv the mizbeach achitzin, what we just said, that circling around by the mizbeach apnimi should be the same as it is by the mizbeach achitzin. So it involves walking from corner to corner. The Zen nois and tam ledvarav. The other one is also able to give a logical reason for what he says, because he says kulam mizbeach pnimi makom chada keren dechitzin koi. Because if he said the whole mizbeach hazav only equals the size of one keren of the mizbeach achitzin. The interesting point over here is, what do we mean that what do we mean that they were left over at the end of the first base, that they survived the destruction of the first base mikdash? We know that at that time in history there wasn't yet really widespread machlokes. Because any time you had a question in halacha, you could go to the Sanhedrin, you could go to the Beis Din HaGadol, and they would decide one way or the other. Only beginning from the time of Hillel and Shammai do we have a proliferation of machlokes. So how do we have these two Kohenim Gdolim in the first Beis Hamikdash that argued over the halacha? So Tosfos Hashanim gives a couple of answers. Maybe in fact the Sanhedrin hadn't voted on it. Had they voted, they would have come to a conclusion. But Lamai said they didn't get around to voting on it. The other possibility is that maybe Rabbi Shmuel would hold that there's no real machlokas over here. You can do however you want. All this time, we've been assuming that the Tanakhama, which is Rabbi Yisrael Glili, and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, are saying what you have to do. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we can say there's no real machlokas. Each one is saying how he feels it should be done, or it could be done. But really, either way would be equally kosher. And therefore, we see that these two Kohenim Gedolim, each one of them picked a different way of doing it.
It's very hard to compare the Mizbeach Pnimi to the Mizbeach Chitzon because the sizes, I mean, the Mizbeach Chitzon is 32 amos and the Mizbeach Pnimi is one amos. How can you compare both?
Well, but that's the question. In other words, are we comparing it to the Mizbeach as a whole, or are we comparing it to a corner, to a horn of the outer Mizbeach, which is the same size? So in other words... We're saying we want to compare the Saviv of both of them, but that's the question. What are we comparing? The four corners to the four corners. In that case, you have to walk. Or are we comparing the size to the size? In that case, then you stand in one place. Because when you come to each individual corner of the outer Mizbeach, which is the size, which is the size of the inner Mizbeach, then you stand in one place.
But the Mizbeach that's 32 amos square, you each side. How can you compare? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
It does make sense because, again, we're not necessarily comparing the Mizbeach as a whole. We're comparing the corner to the corner. We're comparing the corner to the whole Mizbeach because they're both the same size.
The corner, you can say that one corner of the Mizbeach HaChitzon is proportionately 32 times bigger than the one corner on the Mizbeach HaChitzon.
Take that view. The second one says, the fact is we have to look at the size as a whole. Right now, when you're standing by the Mizbeach HaChitzon and you're applying blood to one corner, that corner is an amma by an amma. Therefore, when you're standing by saying an amma by an amma, you can stand in one place. Well, the Mizbeach HaPnimi is an amma by an amma. Therefore, you can just stand there. That's how that view takes it. It's interesting, by the way, even though now we have at the top of the Amud, you have the note for Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah refers to, by Hakafa Beregel, refers to the Rambam, but actually it's not so simple. The Rambam doesn't specify one way or the other. He doesn't explicitly say, he just says Soviv V'Holich, which could either mean that he circles and walks around, or it could just be he keeps on circling around. And in fact, the Rashba, the Rashba versus the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam, versus the number of the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam, like the Kesef Mishnah and the Lacham Mishnah, disagree what in fact the Rambam means. Does he in fact mean to Paskin like the opinion Hakafa Beregel, or does he mean to Paskin like the opinion Hakafa Beyad? Or of course, it could also be that the Rambam holds like Rabbi Shmuel that you could do it either way you want, and therefore he left it deliberately ambiguous. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer b'mkoyma hayo Oimer d'machate. We said Rabbi Eliezer had said that He stands in one place and applies the blood to the four corners. And now we said in the Mishnah that according to that opinion according to the Tanakhama that he's walking around from one corner to another, then all four corners are applied in the same way. Each one of them, we want him to be going from the top downward along the edge of the corner, because we said if he goes from the bottom upward, then the blood may leak down his hand and then leak into the sleeve of his ksonis and dirty it. On the other hand, we said according to Rabbi Eliezer that he's standing in one place and reaching around. Then we said in the Mishnah there's a difference. The one in front of him, in fact, he does from above to below for that reason. But all the other three, since he's reaching around to them, then he does them from the bottom to the top. Because they are, since he has to lower his hand down anyway, his arm is reaching downward and the palm of his hand is below that, then therefore he's able to use his index finger and go from the bottom to the top without the blood running down the side of his hand. So the Gemara says, Masnisin Mani Rabbi Yehuda. So who is our Mishnah like? Our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer. Because within Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, you have a machlokas of later Tanoim what Rabbi Eliezer held. The Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, b'mkoyme Omer d'machate. Rabbi Eliezer says that he would stand in one place and do the application. V'akulon ha'yonosim v'mayla l'mata. And Rabbi Meir says that Rabbi Eliezer would say that all of them you go from the top to the bottom, with the exception of the one diagonally opposite of him. So in other words, let's say if we follow Rabbi Akiva and say that he's standing at the southeastern corner, so then the one that's diagonally opposite, the one that's catty corner to him, is northwest. So that one, Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Eliezer would say, that one he does from the bottom to the top. And the reason is, Rashi explains like this. The logic would be as follows. Again, we said that there's certain places where we don't want him to be doing from the top to the bottom, because then his hand is pointing downward, then his index finger is pointing up, the rest of his hand is pointing downward, and the blood may run down his hand and run into his sleeve. So now Rabbi Meir takes the view, the same thing would also be true by the ones to the left and the right of him. So if he's standing by the southeast corner, the same thing Rabbi Meir would say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the same thing is true of the southwestern, the same thing would be true of the southwestern corner and of the northeastern corner. The only one where you don't have that problem is the northwestern corner, which is catty corner to where he is, because then Rashi says actually what it would be a big bother for him that he's going to have to be bent over there, and as he's bending over, he's extending his arm further and further out. So therefore, it's much easier for him, and there's no problem of it running down his hand if he starts at the bottom. So he's bent all the way over towards the bottom of the mizbeach and reaches over and starts from the bottom over there and brings his finger up, and since it's far away from him, and since he's bent over the mizbeach, then therefore his hand is still going to be pointing downward, and there's not going to be a problem of blood running down it. So that's according to the Meir's version. Now, our Mishnah obviously doesn't agree with that version, because it said that only the one in front of him does he do milamayla lamata, whereas according to the Meir, the ones to the right and the left of him, he's also doing milamayla lamata. So then the Braisa continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. That Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Eliezer says, b'mkoyme oimer d'machate, he stands and does the application where he's standing, v'alkulon unoysen milamata l'mayla, and each of the three of them he puts milamata l'mayla, from the bottom going to the top, including the two that are not only the one diagonally opposite him, but even the ones to his left and his right. Rabbi Yehuda figures that those are also far away enough, and his hand is positioned such that it's not going to run down, his hand in that small amount of time. Chutz mizu shows the fun of mamish, with the exception of the one that was directly in front of him, shenosin mimayla lamata, with that one he does from the top to the bottom. And the reason is all of this pihekidoy nitvasan money. The reason with all of this is in order that his clothes don't get dirty from the blood, as we just explained. So our Mishnah that says that only the one in front of him did he do from the top to the bottom, that goes according to Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer. Next, We said he's the Mishnah had said he's a mimenu al tohare shamizbeach. The next thing the Kohen Gadol does is he sprinkles from the blood seven times on the toharoi of the Mizbeach. So we have to figure, my toharoi, what does the word toharoi mean? Omer, Rav Barav Shila, paugid Mizbeach. So Rav Barav Shila said it means the midpoint of the Mizbeach, meaning the Mizbeach HaZahav is, the Mizbeach HaZahav is two amas tall. So therefore, so it means that he's sprinkling the blood seven times along the midpoint of it, one amma off the ground. And the reason why would that be called tahara? Kida amri inshi tahar tiara, like people said, noontime has come. Bahavat pauga diyama, which noontime is the middle of the day. In other words, the word tihara is the Aramaic word for noontime. In Hebrew, it's saharayim. In Aramaic, it's tihara. You often have that a test in Aramaic corresponds to a tzaddik in Lashon Kodesh. So the word tihara means the midpoint of the day. So the same thing, tahara shel mizbeach means the midpoint of the height of the mizbeach. Like Moses Mesvi, though, I have a contradiction. A brisa says, "Kshuhu maza," when he's sprinkling the blood, "Eine maza loyav gabe efer v'loyav gabe hagecholim." He does not sprinkle the blood on top of the ashes or the coals that are left there. Now, earlier that morning, they had brought the ketores every day. The Kohen Gadol had brought the ketores just like it's done every day, and now you still have burnt ashes and coals and whatever on the mizbeach hazahav. He doesn't sprinkle the blood on top of that, because it has to be on the Mizbeach directly. Rather, he moves the coals aside to one direction and to the other direction. And then he sprinkles in the space in the middle. So therefore, obviously, that's not talking about the side of the Mizbeach HaZahav, because the ashes and the coals are on the top of it. So it can't be that Tahare means the top, means the midpoint of the height. So Rav Barav Shila says, you're right. What it means is al giluya de Mizbeach. It means on the exposed area of the top of the Mizbeach. And how does the word Tahara come to mean that? As you have when Moshe and Aaron and the Skenim went up to Har Sinai during Matan Torah, then it says they saw the clear purity of the heavens. So we see that the word Tahara means pure and clear, and that's what it means over here, the cleared off area on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So that's what it means, in other words. So he clears off an area. We mentioned this briefly, by the way, in the first parak of Or Masechta. We were talking about the fact that you don't find that there should be an application of blood that has to be on both halves of the mizbeach. And we brought this in this connection. If you're doing on the midpoint, then inevitably some of it is going on the top half and some on the bottom half. And we said no. What it means is you're doing it on the top of the mizbeach. So there's no case where you're doing on the top and on the bottom. Okay. Now, what side of the Mizbeach HaPnimi is an Amma by an Amma. Where within that Amma by an Amma is he doing these sprinklings? So Tanya, we learned it a Braisa. Chananya Omer Vitzad Tzvoni Hu Noisim. Chananya says he does it on the top of the Mizbeach, but closer to the north side. Rabbi Yossi Omer Vitzad Droimi Hu Noisim. Rabbi Yossi says you do it closer to the south side. So the question is, what's the underlying machlokes? So the answer is like this. We've talked about before the question, which side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim did the Kohen exit from? Was it on the south side or on the north side? So we said that according to the opinion, which we learned earlier in the Perek, that there were two Poreichasin. Then we said the inner one was open on the north and the outer one was open on the south. Therefore, he came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the south side and did the sprinklings in front of the Poreichas and then walked over to the Mizbeach HaZahav. Whereas we said, according to Rabbi Yossi, in earlier in our parak, there was only one parakas, and the opening of it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was on the north. So therefore, he came out on the north side, and again, he went and did the sprinklings in front of the parakas, and then he walked over to the Mizbeach HaZahav. So one hold that the entrance was on the south, the entrance and the exit to the Kodesh HaKadoshim was on the south. The other one holds it was in the north. So therefore, what does that mean? So Chananya holds that the opening was on the south. So therefore, what happens? You come out on the south side. Now, as we said, you don't do the first corner of the Mizbeach that you pass, because we said you have to be v'yotza. He has to go beyond the whole area of the Mizbeach before he starts the sprinkling. Therefore, he doesn't start with the southwest corner. He goes to the southeast corner, and then he starts there. Then the last one that he does is the northeast corner. So there, now having finished the sprinklings there on the north, on the northeast corner, having finished the sprinklings over there, then he does the seven sprinklings on that side, on the north side of the mizbeach. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says that Rabbi Yossi takes the view, like we said before, that there's only one pareches and the opening of it is on the north. Therefore, he starts on. Therefore, he's starting on the north. Therefore, he's starting on the northeast, not like Rabbi Akiva, who said he starts on east, that he starts on the southeast. He starts on the northeast, and he's going, as we said, counterclockwise. He's winding up. He finishes off with the southeast, and there, that's where he does the seven azos on the south side, because that's what he's closest to. Okay. So that's the machlokes. Now, the Rambam does paskin that there were two parochasin and he came out of the south side. He also paskins, like Rabbi Yossi Agrili in the machlokes earlier, that he starts from the northeast and works his way around counterclockwise. Now, usually, first of all, anyway, when you have a machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Agrili, usually the halacha would be like Rabbi Akiva. But here you have the Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi Agrili. Therefore, he paskins like him. And so the result is, and the Rambam apparently understands it. Apparently, the Rambam understands the Yotza El HaMizbeach, similar to the way that Rabbeinu Hanan and Tosfos Yeshanim do. It's not just enough for him to pass by the Mizbeach from west to east. He also has to pass by the Mizbeach from south to north. And only when he's walked by both of those dimensions in the Mizbeach, only then can he start the sprinkling. So therefore, the first corner that he reaches where he can start the sprinkling is the northeastern corner. And then from there, he works his way around counterclockwise, winds up by the southeastern corner, and there he does the last daubing of blood, and there he does the seven sprinklings on the top of the mizbeach. Okay. Then he starts from the northeast, right?
And then what? Northwest?
Then he goes northwest because he's going counterclockwise. So then northwest, then southwest, then southeast. He's finished by the southeast. Now he's standing closer to the south side of the mizbeach. Therefore, that's the area where he clears off the ashes and then sprinkles on the top of the mizbeach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Shirei Hadam HaYeshayfach HaYisod Ma'arobi Shem Mizbeach HaChitzen. We said the leftover blood after he's done. So now he's done at this point 43 sprinklings and applications of blood inside the Heichel. 16 in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 16 in front of the Pareches, 4 on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav, and 7 on the top of it, total 43. So now the leftover blood, and remember it's mixed with the Par and the Sur at this point, he goes and pours on the western Yesod of the Mizbeach HaChitzen. So why does he have to pour it over there, and why dafka that side? So D'amakura, first of all, because the Pasuk says, the es kol dama por yishpoich. The Pasuk talks about in connection with the par helam davar shel tzibur, the one where the Sanhedrin made a mistake in halacha and the tzibur is bringing a par as a korban. So the Pasuk describes how after he does applications of blood in the heichel, those he does towards the pareches and on the mizbeach hazav. So then the Pasuk says that the es kol dama por yishpoch, the Pasuk says that all the blood of the par, meaning all the blood of the par, he should pour onto the yisoid. So Rashi brings from Toras Koinim that when it says hapar, it comes to include also the power of Yom Kippur, that the leftover blood of it is also spilled onto the Yisoid. Now, why dafka the western Yisoid? V'chinofik bahu poga bereisha. When he comes out of the Heichel, that's the first side that he comes to, because the Heichel is west of the Mizbeach. So therefore, when he comes out of the Heichel, he's standing in front of the west side of the Mizbeach, and therefore that's where he pours it. Now, we said the Mishnah had said, by the way, the blood of a chatas whose blood is daubed on the outer mizbeach, a regular chatas where the blood is not taken into the heichel, a regular chatas, the blood is just daubed on the four corners of the mizbeach chitzon. So we said the leftover, the shiraim of that, he would pour that onto the southern yisoid. As we said yesterday, the yisoid went along the entire north side and the entire west side of the mizbeach. It stuck out a little bit on the south side. We said there's a few different opinions how far it stuck out, but whatever, there was a certain amount of yisoid on the south side or pointing towards the south. So that would be where he'd be putting the blood of the Shirei Hadam of Chatois Chitzonis. So why the south side? Turn it up on him. We learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Yesod HaMizbeach. The Pasuk says, by a regular chathas, the chathas of a king or a regular person, whatever it is, the Pasuk says that he should pour the blood on Yesod HaMizbeach, on the Yesod of the Mizbeach. So Zeh Yesod Jeremis. That means the southern Yesod. Now, continues the Braisa, Ata Omi Yesod Jeremis. Now, you're saying it means the southern side. Maybe it means the western one. So Amarta, we can answer like this: Yulmad Yuridasim in a Kevesh, Litzi Asim in a Hechel. Let's derive what happens when he comes down from the Kevesh. What do you do when he's applying blood of a regular Chatas? He went up the Kevesh, went up to the Soviv, walks around the Soviv, around the Mizbeach, and around the four corners of the Mizbeach, and then comes back down the ramp and comes down to the floor. So let's compare that to when he comes out of the Hechel. In other words, given when he comes out of the Hechel, the Pasuk is telling us that he needs to pour it. That he needs to pour it on the west. So now when it comes to a regular chatas, we don't know what side he's going to pour it on. But we're going to compare. We're going to do it by binyanav. We're going to compare one to the other. Ma yitziyasim in a heichol b'somachloi. Just like when he comes out of the heichol, he pours it on the closest part of the yisod that he first meets up with. We said he comes to the western side, therefore he pours it on the western side. The Samachloi is right next to him. The Eza Zay Yisod Ma'arabi, namely that would be the western side, because as soon as he comes out of the Hechel, that's the first side that he sees. After you dust him in Akevish, the Samachloi, the same way, when he comes down from the ramp, it should be the closest possible corner that he goes to spill the Shirayim. The Eza Zay, and which one would that be? Zay Yisod Jeremi, that would be the southern side, because the ramp of the Mizbeach is on the southern side. Okay. So now, a couple of other opinions on that. The Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, before we get to the Machlokas, actually, Tosfos makes an interesting point over here. Why do we need a limud to say that it should be the one why do we need a limud to say in the case of the Chatois, that in case of the one of Yom Kippur and the Par Halam Dover, that he should need to do it on the west side? Don't we have a reason anyway? Because Ein Mavir in Ala Mitzvahs. Which we discussed yesterday, that point, that if you bypass something, that you should do a mitzvah as soon as possible. So what would be the Havam in it to say that he should be bypassing the west side and go to some other side, that we need to be told that no, he has to do it on the part of the Yisod, which is Asher Pesach Oyel Moed, which is in front of the door of the Oyel Moed. So Tosfos refers over here to a discussion that they had earlier in the Masechta, where they say, that Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvahs doesn't apply. Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvahs doesn't mean that necessarily you have to do the mitzvah in the first place where you find it. What it means is that if you have two mitzvahs and you could do one, you have two mitzvahs that you can do, one versus the other, then do the first one that you have a chance to. But where you're only going to be doing one of them, then we don't say that Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvahs, because then we say you have to do one of them. So whichever one, then we have to know which is the one that's going to take precedence, given that you're not going to do both. Tosfos Hashanim actually refers back to the Gemara that we had before about the question, which order does he do around the Mizbeach HaZahav, clockwise or counterclockwise, where we mentioned also the point of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvahs over there. And they also discuss in this connection the matter of how Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvahs applies to that, where again we're saying over here it doesn't apply. Because as Tosfos was saying earlier, Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvahs doesn't mean, so Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvahs means, for example, you're having to do on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav, so you have the choice which one to do first. So we say as soon as possible, after the one that you bypassed, you should be doing that one, according to Rabbi Akiva at least. Whereas over here, it's not a question of you're going to do one and then you're going to do the other. You're going to do one or you're going to do the other. There we don't say Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvahs, and therefore there you need a special limud for it. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Zeh V'Zeh Yisod Ma'arabi. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Now, what did we say so far? We said there's a difference between the Chatois that take place in the Heichel versus the ones that take place on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The ones from the Heichel go on the west side of the Yisod. The ones from the Mizbeach HaChitzon go on the south side. So now we have Rabbi Shmuel says that no, both of them are on the west side. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochayim is Zevazeh Yisod Jomi, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochayim says both of them are on the south side. It means, by the way, you know, when we say Ezo Mekoyman in the morning, and we say about the first two types, the ones of Yom Kippur and the Purim and Siyum and Esrafim, where we say there Shire Adama Yisofeh Yisod Ma'arav Yishamaz Be'achachitzon, and then we come to the third Mishnah about regular Chatois, and we say Shire Adama Yisofeh Yisod Jeremi. That would be according to the Tanakama over here. That would not be according to the Bishmal and or according to the Bishimim. We always say, by the way, it's, you know, the posts can bring one reason why we say Ezo Makoman out of all the Prokim of Mishnayos is because there's no machloikas in it, so therefore it's like Allah HaLamosha Misinai. But we see from this and a few other examples that in fact there are machloikas in about some of the things it says in it. It just doesn't say them explicitly in those Mishnayos. Those Mishnayos are presented as if everybody says the same thing. But really, we see from all Gemara and from other Gemaras that there are in fact machloikas in about certain details of them. Okay. So now let's understand Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon's reasons. The Shlema Rabbi Shmuel, we can understand why Rabbi Shmuel says all of them go on the west side. Kasava Yumad Sosim Mufardish. He holds, given that you have the ones from the Heichel, where it says that they have to be Asher Pesach Oyomoy, they have to be in front of the door. So therefore, that means the west side. So, and on the other hand, you have by a chatas, by a regular chatas, where it doesn't say a side. So we're going to learn that from the other one, and we're going to say therefore, since the first one is on the west, then this one is also on the west. Eilat of Shimon and the Tanakama, we also understand, because again, he says that you're not learning the sides, what you're learning is the first one that you come to. So when you're coming out of the Heichel, you first come to the west. When you're coming off the Kevesh, you first come to the south. But Eilat of Shimon Yechoy, my timer, why does Rav Shimon Yechoy hold that all of them are on the south? Rav Ashi says Kasava Pischa B'Dorim for you, because Rav Shimon holds that the door of the Heichel is on the south of the Mizbeach. So therefore, what's the Yisoid Asher Pesach Oyomoyed would actually be the Yisoid on the south. Now, of course, you have the question, but still, is it Rashi and Shita Mukhabetzes deal in Zvachim with the question? Okay, but isn't the west side also in front, of the door? So still, why is Reb Shimon insisting it has to be the south? And there's a few answers. Maybe Reb Shimon holds that the Mizbeach is so far towards the north that the only part of the Yisoid that's in front of the door is the southern side. Maybe the Shimon holds is not quite that far over, but when you walk out of a door, usually you walk out of the midpoint of the door. You don't walk out towards one side or the other. So therefore, we have to look at what part of the Yisoid is directly opposite the midpoint of the Heichel, and that would be the south side. So whatever the case, therefore, sort of Shimon holds that the one that you meet up with first is in fact the south side, and therefore he says that's the one. Even when you're exiting the Heichel, that's the one that you should be applying to. So the Gemara says, Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel Bi Devei Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. There was a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel that was taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. That says Zev Zeh Yisod Dromis. That says that both of them are put on the Yisod Dromi. Meaning, in other words, Rabbi Shimon's Talmidim had a version of Rabbi Shmuel's Braisa where he changed his mind and agreed with Rabbi Shimon that they both go on the south side. The Simonach, and a way to remember that is Mashchua Gavri LeGavra, the men pulled the man along with them. Meaning the Talmidim, Rashi says, the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel pulled along and got Rabbi Shmuel, who was a Yachid, to agree with them. Tosfos has a couple of problems with that explanation of Mashchua Gavri LeGavra, and Tosfos gives a couple of other answers. One of them is that Gavri refers to Rav Shimon Ben Yochai himself because he is mentioned together with his father's name. So in other words, you have two men's names, Shimon and Yochai, whereas Rabbi Shmuel is being mentioned without his father's name. So therefore, he's called Gavra, one person, and the Simon helps you remember the majority always wins out over the minority. So in this case, the one who's mentioned with two names beats out the one that was mentioned with only one name. Rabbi Shimon ends up having Rabbi Shmuel agree with him. Or another possibility, Tosfos says that we know that Rabbi Shimon outlived Rabbi Shmuel by a long time. Rabbi Shmuel was a chaver of Rabbi Akiva. There was a Rabbi Shmuel who was one of the Asod Arugim Malchus, but whether that's this Rabbi Shmuel is not so certain. But in any case, Rabbi Shimon outlived him by a long time. So eventually, Rabbi Shmuel's former Talmidim came to learn by Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Therefore, we can use as a simon that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai now is able to overpower Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, because now Rabbi Shmuel's former Talmudim went to him and they ended up agreeing that the right thing is to do it on the south side. Okay, I mean the halacha though is like the Stam Mishnah over here, and then the Stam Mishnah in Zvachim, that you don't have both of them in the same place. You have one on the Ma'arovi and one on the Drin. We said in the Mishnah, Elu ve'elu, both kinds of blood, the ones that go on the Ma'arovi and the ones that go on the Drimi, both of them is Arvin Ba'ama, they get mixed together in the water channel that flowed through the Azara. So they'd have, in other words, they go into these holes in the Asoid, then from there they drain into the Ama, and from there they drain out and they go to Nach V'yotzin V'chola, they went out to Nacho Kidra in the valley east of Yerushalayim. And we said that they sell that blood to local gardeners for fertilizer, and Me'ilah would apply to it. So let's focus on that matter of Me'ilah. So turn it up on Me'ilah Medamim Divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir says that Me'ilah would apply to things that only have Reb Meir says that Me'ilah applies to this blood. Divrei Reb Meir, Reb Shimon, Rachamim Ein Me'ilah Behen. Reb Meir and Reb Shimon say no, Me'ilah does not apply to blood of korbanos. Me'ilah does not apply to blood of korbanos. So our Mishnah therefore would be like Reb Meir, not like Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, because they would say they wouldn't hold a Me'ilah at all in connection. So the Gemara says, Ad kan le pligi elamid rabbanon. Now, evidently, the machloikus of Reb Meir versus Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda is only, between Reb Meir versus Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, the machloikus is only whether Me'ilah applies to them drabbanon. Ava midaraisa in Me'ilah behen. Evidently, midaraisa, there's no Me'ilah in blood of Korbanos. Now, why is that? Tosfos says, because if Daraisa Me'ilah applied to them, at least at this point, the Gemara is assuming that you couldn't sell them to the gardeners either. In other words, we would assume at this point that the blood has Kedusha Zaguf, and something that has Kedusha Zaguf, you can't be poida and use it like that. You could, for example, an animal has Kedusha Zaguf, you can be poida if it develops a mum, but ordinarily something, but other things, other than animals, that they have Kedusha Zaguf, you can't be poida them. So if we're saying over here that they could sell it to the gardeners for fertilizer, in other words, it becomes cholin, then the assumption is it would only be kedushas damim, not kedushas aguf. So therefore, it would have to be, since we're saying the blood has kedushas aguf, and if we're saying that you can that you can sell it, that would mean Me'ilah would apply to it only drabbanon, according to the mayor, and according to the Shimon and the Chachamim, not even then. Alva midaraisa in Me'ilah behen, but midaraisa Me'ilah wouldn't apply to the blood. Someone know Hanimili. Where do we know that from? Oma Ula, Oma Kra Lochem, because the Pasuk says about the blood of Korbanos, Vani Nesativ Lochem Al Mizbeach, I've given it to you on the Mizbeach, implying Shalachem Yehei, implying that the blood is considered yours and Me'ilah doesn't apply to it on a Daraisa level. Dvei Reb Shimon Tana, in the Yeshiva of Reb Shimon, they taught a different way of learning it. The same Pasuk says, Lachaper, that the blood is there for Kapara, implying l'chapara nesativ v'loy l'me'ilah. It's only there for kapara. It's not there for the purpose of me'ilah. V'Rab Yechanan Amakra, Rab Yechanan says a third source. The Pasuk says, who? The Pasuk says, ki hadam hu. That same Pasuk says, ki hadam hu v'nefesh yichaper. The word hu always means that something continues to have the same status. You have an agadta, for example, the Gemara mentions in Megillah, that, for example, when it says hu achashverosh, means that he was the same Rosha throughout. Avram, who Avraham, means that he was the same tzaddik throughout. So the word who over here would mean it has the same status throughout, which means, in other words, so therefore, lifne kapara, tila acha kapara. So therefore, the status of the blood before it was used for kapara is the same as the status of it after kapara. Mala acha kapara ain by Me'ilah, just like after the kapara takes place, Me'ilah does not apply to it, which we're going to give a logical reason soon why that should be. After lifne kapara in Me'ilah. Evidently, the idea is even before kapara, Me'ilah wouldn't apply to it. So the question is, Ve'ema, why say the other way around? La'acha kapara to lifne kapara. Maybe on the contrary, maybe the pasuk with the word who is comparing la'acha kapara to lifne kapara. Ma lifne kapara yesh Me'ilah, la'acha kapara yesh Me'ilah. Maybe the pasuk means that throughout, before kapara, of course, Me'ilah applies to it. And even after Kapara, Me'ilah should still continue to apply to it. The answer is it can't be, because ein l'cha davar shenasis mitzvasei u'moilin boi, you never have a case of something where the mitzvah was done with it, and then me'ilah should still apply. Here, once the mitzvah was done with the blood and it was sprinkled on the mizbeach, then there's no reason that me'ilah should apply to it. And therefore, once we have the word hu, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that it's comparing lifnei kapara to la'achar kapara, then the only comparison can be that both of them are, that neither of them are subject to me'ilah. Tosfos gets into a bit of discussion over here about the ins and outs of what exactly is in what cases is blood subject to me'ilah. There are cases where blood of korbanos is subject to me'ilah. Min haTorah, Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Me'ilah that says, for example, if you let blood for an animal of kodshim, then that blood is also bahana. Because as long as the animal is alive, it needs its blood. Okay, this particular blood obviously it didn't need because you let it, but nevertheless, in principle, it needs its blood. So therefore, Me'ilah would apply to it on a daraisa level. But here we're talking about after the korban was shechted, before kapara was accomplished with it, where we're saying then that Me'ilah no longer applies to it on a daraisa level. On the other hand, Tosfos brings an explanation from Rabbeinu Chaim different than what we said before. Before we were assuming that even we're talking about Me'ilah would apply to this blood after it goes out to Nachal Kidron, we're saying that it would be only Dirabbanan, and according to Rabbi Shimon, not even at all. Rabbeinu Chaim says that no, actually what it is once the blood leaves the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash and flows out to Nachal Kidron, at that point, Beis Din is re-makdish it again with Gdushas Damim. So that's how they're able to sell it to the gardeners, because now it only has Kedushas Damim, and as such, they're able to be poided and goes completely the Cholin. But it would, in fact, be on a Daraisa level, not just Dirabbanan anymore. All this time, in other words, according to the way we were understanding until now, you have a stage where if you let blood from the animal while it's alive, for example, where Me'ilah applies on a Daraisa level. Then you have after the korban is shechted, then we're saying it only applies on a Dirabbanan level. And from then on, it's never anything more than Dirabbanan. So according to the mayor, it's still Me'ilah would apply to Dirabbanan, and according to the Shimon and the Chachamim, not. Now, Rabbeinu Chaim Koyan is saying in the Gemara, is saying in Tosfos that no. The stages would be, at first, while the animal is alive, if you let blood from it, Me'ilah does apply to the blood. Later on, you shech the korban, then Me'ilah stops applying on a daraisa level. Later on, after the blood is applied to the mizbeach and flows out to Nachal Kidron, now Me'ilah applies again on a daraisa level, but now it's not Kedushas Aguf anymore, now it's Kedushas Damim. The Chachamim are makdish it again with Kedushas Damim, such that the gardeners should have to buy it back. Tosfos also mentions that this that we're saying that whenever you have something where the mitzvah was done with it and Me'ilah doesn't apply, therefore we should compare. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan wants to compare la'acha kapara to lifnei kapara to la'acha kapara and say therefore that Me'ilah doesn't apply in either case. Daraisa, Tosfos says that you can't argue the other way around and say on the other hand. If, on the other hand, you could argue when the mitzvah hasn't been done yet, Me'ilah should apply, because we're going to have examples. We're going to have examples in the Gemara of things where the mitzvah has not been done yet, and it is mutabana. We're going to have later on in the Gemara, for example, the example of Egla Arufa, where once it's decapitated, then it's also bahana. But before that, before the mitzvah was done, it's mutar b'hana. So therefore, you see that you can have something where the mitzvah was not yet accomplished, and it's mutar b'hana. So therefore, we could analogize that to the blood over here before it was sprinkled on the mizbeach, and say that there's no problem in saying that me'ilah doesn't apply here. So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow. Bez the Shem, and continue seeing what are the cases where we say that something was used for a mitzvah and yet Me'ilah still applies, and what are the cases where not. Where Tosfos says, when we say Me'ilah applies, maybe it doesn't mean Me'ilah, maybe it just means Isser Hanah. You have the long Tosfos over here about Rechumas Adeshin that discusses that, but we'll talk about that in connection with the Gemara tomorrow, Bez the Shem.
Shkeyach.